The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hi, it's Pat and Stu, and the blob right there. Right there!
We love you, Jeffy.
Oh.
You know what?
We love you. Thank you. Hello.
Words don't
mean the things I'm using them as.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't know. Like, there's a big controversy going on with this Houston thing. I guess it's a big controversy where this CNN reporter was interviewing a person who was affected by the flood,
mm-hmm.
and she's very upset, and she gets in the face of the reporter a little bit, and everyone's saying, "Oh, CNN, there's the worst journalists in the world. Look what they're doing."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know. I watch it and I think to myself, it seemed completely fine what the journalist did. And, you know, I also, by the way, can understand the mom. However,
it also starts out fine.
Yeah, it starts out. That's why I think it's important.
A strange.
Yeah, let's watch the clip and we'll come back and discuss here in a second.
Let me introduce you to Danielle here. Danielle, you just arrived.
Thank you for telling me that.
Share with us how you were rescued.
Some guys had called our phone and asked us where we were because we was waiting for the police for like 36 hours and they never came, and we was waiting at the home. We did the white flags and everything and nobody came, but then somebody had called the phone after we decided to leave the house, and we had walked to the gas station with the kids, and then they had called and came and picked us up. But we had been there like 5 days with no food and no lights, and nobody came.
Now you're with your children. We've heard of stories of mothers trying to save their children from the rushing waters. Can you tell us how that was?
We walked through 4 feet of water to go get them food on the first day. Yeah, that's a lot of shit. But y'all sitting here, y'all trying to interview people during their worst times. Like, that's not the smartest thing to do. Like, people are really breaking down, and y'all sitting here with cameras and microphones trying to ask us what the f*** is wrong with us.
Okay, she realizes.
And you really
trying to understand
with the microphone still in my
face. Okay, thank you.
She's walking away,
and
then she keeps talking, so she puts the
microphone. And you're still putting a microphone in my face.
Sorry. Rosa Flores, it sounds like you've got a very upset family there.
I mean, okay.
I don't think that's her fault at all.
I don't think it's the journalist's fault at all, first of all.
It's not. She could have not talked to her.
Yeah.
Right?
A couple things. Number one, she starts with her name.
So now, she knows her name.
She knew that she was going to be interviewed. She got her name, and she agreed to the interview.
Here's how that works. Yeah. Yes. Before the camera comes on and the live shot happens, they say, hey, can we talk to you about what's going on? You either say yes or no.
Right.
If you say yes, they'll interview you. If you say no, they won't.
They won't. And so
it's just that easy.
And obviously, they had that
conversation. You can't put her on. You can't broadcast her without her permission. Mm-hmm. So she got her permission, and then that happened.
And to the point of they actually got her name. So they ask her. She's answering completely fine. She's trying to get another second of interview. She kind of asks a question that doesn't really go anywhere. But the woman cuts her off and starts telling her the story. She gets wound up. She's telling the story. She's frustrated. She's angry. She's had 5 days of this. She's understandably acting in a way that, frankly, is irrational.
But
I mean,
the other news media, who's jumping all over CNN on this,
come on,
when they've done far worse, and they do it all the time, and every news agency does this, and then you're gonna try to make something out of it.
Come on, it's just silly. And you know, she really. She starts off fine, the person being interviewed. She eventually gets angry, and she starts swearing. Now, when she reacts that way, when she says, you're interviewing people in the worst times, that's not the best idea. You could see her recoil a little bit with the microphone. But the woman keeps talking. So mm-hmm. then she feels rude by pulling the microphone away. So she kind of inches it back towards her. Then she says, "You're putting it in my face again." Yeah. So she tries to pull it back again. I mean, but she keeps talking throughout the whole process. I mean, it's a very strange thing to complain about, honestly. Like, it was a notable moment because obviously the woman swore twice on the air, and that doesn't happen all that often. But I really don't think the journalist did anything wrong there.
No, I don't know.
I don't know her name, but I thought she was completely fine there.
And, you know, having been in Houston for Katrina, when that hit New Orleans and all the refugees came to Houston, and I went down there to help to the Astrodome, and, you know, some of those people are not in good moods.
Really?
Yeah. Some of them aren't in good moods.
Really?
Yeah, some of them aren't necessarily nice people. They're just affected by a really bad thing.
Yeah.
And they're even less nice when they've had this tragedy in their lives, and here they are, and so they're upset, and I mean, sometimes they're not even seemingly grateful for the help that you're trying to render.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that whole thing is understandable.
I mean, think about this in a normal situation. It's Christmas shopping season, and the woman is at the mall, and she interviews somebody at the mall, and the woman freaks out like that and starts swearing. Who's at fault? Mm-hmm. The person who's being interviewed,
she
acted irrationally in that situation. The only thing is, you got to put a major addendum on this, is you can totally understand her acting irrationally. Yeah. It is probably the worst thing that's ever happened to her in her entire life. So, yeah, she acted irrationally. But, like, let's not pretend that the journalist did something to call that on. She agreed to an interview. She asked two questions. And, like, she asked 15. She asked two. And the woman was speaking and going on about her issue. I mean, a lot of people like to do interviews like that. And at least at one quick moment, this woman did too. She just, you know, she lost her patience, and it's not that big of a deal. I think it's really not as big a controversy as people are making it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's just, you know, CNN is supposedly the fake news capital of the world now, and so they're getting a little extra scrutiny.
And they're getting scrutiny even from their own journalist friends on that one, and I just think it's kind of unfair. I mean, it's like, you know, I get that. Because I think there's that thing that makes us all feel good. If we say, like, oh, how dare the media go down there and talk to these people? You bastards, you're getting in their way. They're trying to save their own children. How dare you? Now, we've seen multiple cases, by the way, two at least that I can think of off the top of my head, where journalists have actually saved the lives of people on television this week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that. But in addition to that, if you didn't go down there, if you didn't send people to talk to regular people at these shelters, they would say, oh, you don't care about the inner city communities down here at these shelters. Oh, I guess it didn't happen in a wide enough area for you. There's no way for these people to win. There's no way for them to win. And, you know, they've done plenty to hurt their reputation over the years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to call them as you see them. And that's really not their fault. It really isn't. I mean, it's really, if anything, the person who's being interviewed fault. But you totally excuse that because of what they've gone through.
Yeah. There are some great stories, though, coming out of Houston. And this one where they're in a flood-ravaged neighborhood. And the neighbors used a dump truck to rescue a pregnant woman in labor. I guess they joined hands. We've got some footage of that. Here's a look at what happened. It's nice to see good things happen, too, in this tragedy. And nobody's swearing at CNN. So they all join hands and they're trying to get this woman to dry land in this gigantic truck. So, you know, just that's a nice scene where people are helping people. People who help people.
Aren't they the luckiest people?
Or the nicest of people in the world. I don't know how lucky they are.
Okay.
I
should have been more clear.
It was kind of a weird word for you to go with there.
Luckiest?
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of strange.
It just felt right, Pat.
Did it?
I don't know why. I can't explain
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
The bastards at Anheuser-Busch.
Right. St. Louis, Missouri?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Don't you always think St. Louis, Missouri when Anheuser-Busch is
effective branding.
Yes.
It's what happens when you spend multiple billions of dollars a year on advertising.
And I don't know why that was ever important. I guess just to show it's American.
Just to show, yeah.
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch,
St. Louis, Missouri.
Which is why you don't hear it anymore after they sold it to the
Oh, really?
European
is it gone?
Company. Yeah.
Who is it sold to?
The big beer company in the Netherlands or something, right?
Yeah.
But still, they still
it's not American owned anymore.
No. This happened a while ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like 5 years ago, maybe now?
Anheuser-Busch, like... we still have buildings in St. Louis.
they decided to send 500,000 cans of drinking water to people affected by
They stopped production. That was great.
That's really great. Cool. I like that.
Again, like, and this is why... Like,
another great story.
Yeah, capitalism.
This is what people do, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how... We could all vilify these corporations all the rest of the year and say how evil they are. You know, I mean, they really do step up and do great things in these times. I mean, I think one thing you'll find out, Pat, I think, is that people who
help
people are the nicest people.
Again, you wanted to use the word lucky. I'm not sure how that applied.
But the other thing is corporations are made out of people. Just like green... just like
Soylent Green.
Soylent Green. Yes.
Just like Soylent Green.
Just like Soylent Green. Corporations are made out of people.
Wow, that is so hateful and right-wing kookery.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Filled from you.
The idea
because
is...
Because corporations are not people. Stu.
They are people. They're made out of people. It's what they are. They're made up of individuals, and those individuals are generally good people. It's like you could sit here and vilify. Like I love how like these people. Like I hate these damn corporations. Blah 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 blah. Who do you work for? A corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, so you just like the people that you're criticizing, you also work for a corporation. Now, obviously, a corporation can do something very bad. Corporations do act badly from time to time. But corporations aren't really good or bad, actually. They're just whatever you make of them. And the overwhelming majority of people who work there are good people, and therefore the corporations usually do a great good for our society.
Indeed.
It's a shocking thing. It's shocking.
Indeed.
What do you think about this Ulstein thing? I mean,
I'm kind of disgusted by it. I really like Joel. Have known him for years. And
you obviously did the show in Houston for many years. Yeah. Did you have him on the show when you were down there a lot?
Yeah. And, you know, they had this huge controversy that was just blown out of control with Vicky, his wife, on she was on a flight, and I forgot all the details.
She's leaving for facial cream? Is that what it is? I read about that controversy.
That's not what it was at the time. It was something else. Mm-hmm. It was some little incident she had with another passenger on a plane, and it was just blown out of proportion, and I was trying to get the real story across, And they seemed to really like that, and so they called me and thanked me and invited me to things. And so, I've known them for a while, and I think they're really nice people, and I like them, and I think they're pretty sincere. And I'm not a member of his church. I don't follow his ministry that much, but he is a gateway. He considers himself a gateway into Christianity, which is why he's not hardcore doctrine.
He's not like quoting constant scriptures,
right?
And
if he does quote a scripture, it's usually something that helps make you feel good and improves your life.
Which is there's a lot of that in the Bible.
Yes,
it's not like he's making up quotes to make people feel good. There's kind of an inspiring book. Some have said,
but it's not hardcore enough for other Christian ministers, and they all disparage him because of it, because they don't like his brand, and he's pretty successful, and some might be a little jealous.
Yeah. There's definitely a couple complaints you hear about Osteen, that he's not hardcore doctrine enough, and that he has too much money. There's a lot of people who do not think preachers should ever have money, or at least
you
not
live in a cave.
Above. Like, yeah, you should live at what average salary or less, right? Like,
and none of them do.
Most of them don't, at least.
I mean, I don't know any of them who do.
At least not big churches. I mean, because the bottom line is at a big church, you could sell your books, and your books make you money. They're not necessarily, it's part of your life, right? Like, it's where you earn your salary. A lot of these pastors take no salary from the actual church, but they can sell their books, and because a lot of people like them and go to their churches, they make money off of their books. I personally don't have a problem with that, but I understand that, like, there's a weird thing when you're talking about people making money. We see this from the left all the time, and you'd never question it when a person on the left says it, because they say it about everybody, every businessman and everything else. A lot of people, though, on the right think that pastors should not be doing that. And I can, I understand it. I tend to not, it doesn't tend to bother me. Obviously, if you're stealing from your church, we've seen examples of that over the years. Those things are a completely different story. But there's no evidence of that with Joel Osteen.
There's something in the Bible called priestcraft, which is a bad thing, a very bad thing. And it involves, preaching the gospel for money and becoming rich off of it. But I think there's an intent there. I think there's a mindset there that you're doing it only to make money.
Right.
I think it involves scamming people. And, you know, Joel Osteen, I don't know enough about his finances and the way he
well,
gets
he
his money.
Well, he supposedly has a nice house.
He does have a very nice house.
And, you know, so,
but he sold a lot of books, like you mentioned.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And so people think that that automatically makes him bad. And I think
doesn't.
I don't think so, but you can argue that point if you want. I think, unfortunately, that point is influencing too much of this controversy, which is like, well, they didn't want these people in their church as a shelter. Now, the previous storms, they've sheltered people.
Mm-hmm.
They have had flooding in the building. They had a bunch of flooding in the bottom of the building that did not cross the flood wall, but it was very close. I mean, there's pictures of it from inside the church. And in addition to that, like, this is whether you think they're good people or not. Okay, whether you think Osteen keeps he sells too many of his books and keeps a lot of his money and should give more away. If you think he's not pro-gospel enough, whatever. At the very least, you have to recognize these people have given tens of millions of dollars of charity money. They have supported events all around that city forever.
They're incredibly
active
the world.
In the city and around the world.
My God.
And so what possible motivation would he have to say, you know what, we're going to spend $10 million this year on charity, but we're not going to let people camp out here for a day.
Not this one.
It makes
not
absolutely
this
no sense. Even if you think he's doing it just to defraud people. Even if you think he's doing it just so he can have a nice smiling face on his church and he can scam people out of book revenues, there's no argument for him to not let people in the church. And of course, what they said was, and you know, I don't know, I wasn't in every conversation, but I've seen nothing from the city that has disagreed with this point, that the city had shelters with showers and actual facilities set up to take people in initially. And then their church, which is a big church, as you know, it used to be the Compaq Center in Houston, would be set up as an emergency shelter if the need arose, which eventually they did get there. And they show pictures of them collecting all the goods and all those other things. And there is absolutely, here are some of the pictures of the water. I mean, look at the water in the basement of the church. It's almost to the top of the flood wall. If it goes over there, you're going to have to evacuate everyone inside to another floor or out of the building anyway.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's just...
I mean, seriously, unbelievable. Spokesman for the Lakewood Church said, we were on the phone with the city. They said the shelters are fine at this moment. Meanwhile, this is going on at Lakewood. The floodwaters are rising there.
Mm-hmm.
The city said, we'll get back to you. We're prepared to house those people. So Lakewood told the city, we're prepared to house them if you want us to. I mean, this is a stupid,
it
really
sure is.
Stupid but, beating they're taking.
But in today's world, though, if you have to, if it looks like you're on the defensive.
Then it's so.
Yeah,
then
it's true. It would be helpful. And I think this is what you're getting at here, Jeffy. It would be helpful if the city came out and clarified this.
Sure would.
You know, I mean, if this
it
is true,
sure
which
would.
There's no indication that it isn't true, and the city has other more important things, but at some point it would be beneficial for, I think, everybody for them to tell to come out and tell the real story here and say, look, we talked to them, you know, we told them, hey, look, we have plenty of capacity for now. If it gets to the point where we need you, we'll let you know.
And the rest of this is nonsense.
Totally reasonable. Yeah, exactly right. On the other hand, you got another great story from a local businessman, Mattress Mac, Jim McInvale, runs this furniture store called Gallery Furniture. I think they only have two locations, but they're huge. And he, almost all furniture sold in Houston is sold from that location.
He only had two stores. Yeah. He's got two stores the size of New Hampshire.
Yes, he does. So if you've ever bought furniture in Houston, the chances are probably 60% you bought it from Mattress Mac. And he's got these obnoxious commercials that play nonstop, but he's an incredible humanitarian, really good guy, totally involved in the community. And he tweeted out, hey, come here. If you need to come here and you can safely get here, our doors are open. Come here for shelter and food.
Yeah, he's feeding them everything.
He's feeding them. I mean, he got local restaurants in the area to donate food.
They're on luxury beds and awesome
recliners.
Yeah.
Awesome recliners, watching TV. It's fantastic. And here's the thing that I don't know how many people have thought of this. Once they've been slept in overnight by people, you know, from the community.
Slightly used.
You're not selling that. inventory.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could clean it and sell it as used, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
That's the best you could do. But, you can't sell it as new anymore.
And that's true. And and obviously people are laying down on those things all day. So they are demos, right?
Yeah, but they're not
sleeping overnight.
Sleeping overnight
is another story. Probably, if Jeffy was there, there'd be other activities.
Yeah.
No whether it's public or not.
You're not supposed to do that during the day either? Or?
I will say this, though. If you are in Houston and you are faced with either just hearing about that story or you actually went to the shelter, are you ever buying a piece of furniture from anybody else?
Nope.
I would I would be the most loyal customer in the world.
It's pretty amazing.
Pretty cool move
by him.
Very cool.
Just a good guy. Mattress Mac in Houston. 888-727-BACK. You know, we get caught up in these news cycles. We forget sometimes the principles that our nation was founded upon, and they still apply. And then you look at a situation like Houston has right now, and they've had in the past. And they're in a situation where right now, if you don't have food in your house, you're not eating.
Well, look at that woman that we just saw interviewed. She said she went 5 days without food. Like, I mean, again, for $100 from my Patriot Supply, she could have had enough food to last her. It was 102 servings, so she had two kids.
She had two kids.
So you're talking about ten days very easily, maybe longer, depending on how they or if they divided it up. I mean, it's the type of thing, especially with small kids, you're probably getting more than 102 servings. And it's only $99 ship-free. Now, the problem with this is, and my Patriot Supply has yet to come up with a solution to this other than donating in large ways like they're doing right now to Houston, which they are doing that. But you can't get the food there when all the roads are flooded. You know, you can't get the food. Maybe eventually my Patriot Supply will have drones that they can drop this food off to people in need. But as of now, you need to order in advance before the storm gets there.
Yeah, because right now for Houston at this time, it's too late.
Too late.
So get this off your plate. Place your order. They got delicious food. You know, the creamy chicken rice. They've got the emergency pizzas. It's really good food, and it stores easily, and it costs less than $1 a serving.
I believe all pizza is emergency pizza because it's always an emergency for me to have pizza.
That's a fine point, Stu.
That's just one of those things, you know, I think people need to know. Because right now I'm having a pizza emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Could use an emergency pizza. Do I have one? No.
No.
No, because I didn't order from my Patriot Supply. 888-411-5290. 888-411-5290. Or preparewiththeblaze.com. It's preparewiththeblaze.com. Hi, and it's great to see you once again. Welcome back to the program. This is a more polite Pat and Stu show. You know, a lot of people say, how come you're so nice to Jeffy? And you know, that's really how we are all the time. We're very nice, kind people. And every once in a while, you know, do we get a little fired up about the news? We do.
But there's not a mean bone in our bodies.
No, not at all.
You couldn't find one between us.
No, and I think certainly Jeffy knows that. He's been the beneficiary.
Jeffy, he sings our praises on a regular basis. Not to you, because he doesn't want to brag on us in public.
But I know. And
behind the scenes, it's nonstop.
We're like Antifa. We don't want the credit. That's why we wear ski masks.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's what we're like. Anyway, Donald Trump has implemented via tweet a transgender military ban, which is actually not how you do policy in the United States.
No, it's in the Constitution, I think. It's the social media amendment
of the
Constitution.
Yeah, no. But what's interesting, I guess, about that is because Jeffy said, "Oh, well, it is now." It kind of is. Like it at least drives the conversation. We can say that. However, Don is having some issues implementing his transgender military ban. Secretary of Defense General Mattis said, "Maybe not." Mattis said he would convene a panel of experts from the Department of Defense and Homeland Security. They will study the matter and offer advice on how to implement the ban. In the interim, current policy with respect to currently serving members will remain in place. Now, it's not just Mattis, this is Commander-in-Chief of the military. He gets to make a lot of these decisions. A lot of this is left to his discretion. But he doesn't seem to have thought this out at all. And remember, what's interesting about it is, there was a section of Republicans in Congress who wanted action on the transgender issue with the military. And they were going to the White House and trying to get this done. But what they were trying to get done was just that transgendered individuals could not get their surgery paid for by the military. That's what they wanted. Trump just went way beyond that and banned everyone who's transgender from serving, including people who are there, already serving in the military. So it is kind of it's a different policy. He went a little bit further than was requested.
Yeah, and Mattis is saying, at least let's, you know, wait a minute and hang on and let's look at this.
Yeah, let's maybe, like, check this one out.
Completely
first.
Prudent. I mean, that's what you would want from your military, right? If transgenderism doesn't affect them in any way and they're just as good a fighting force or even better, great. But if it hurts in any way, then they shouldn't be in. Right?
It really is.
I don't care how politically correct it is. I don't care how insensitive or sensitive it is. If it harms the military's effectiveness in any way, shouldn't allow it. Shouldn't allow it.
There's no other organization on earth that should be more merit-based than the military.
That's for sure. You can't
screw
around with
that.
People's lives.
Yeah, it's people's lives. It's the
defense
of our country.
And the country's security.
Right. And so, I mean, I think you have to look at that and say, well, what is the effect here? Because, I mean, you could have there are already transgender military members that exist now. They're serving now. If they are really good soldiers, should they be removed?
No.
Because they're transgendered? No. I mean, I think the answer to that is no, right? You don't want to make the military worse by a policy like this. So I think Mattis is smart as he's looking at this. It's an intelligent thing. And a lot of times we talk about this as being like, the military isn't a place for social experiments, which it's not. I mean, it really isn't. Like, if you've got some, you know, new policy, you know, the first place to try it is not the military. That's not a good thing to do. However, right. The standard policy of the United States as it goes to transgendered is we work among them. They live and do as they please, like normal people.
Mm-hmm.
So they come and they go and they do their thing. Now, the idea, what we're trying to do lately is be like, well, they should be able to go to different bathrooms. And there's a lot of new things that is going through this, you know, society of like, well, we should try this. We should try this. We should try this. And you know what? Society might be the place for social experiments. The military isn't. That does not mean, however, that that transgender people who are already serving in the military can continue to it. There hasn't been a huge outcry from the military being like, we cannot have these people here. This is a real distraction for us.
Mm-hmm.
If they find out that's the case for some reason, then there's going to be action that's probably going to be taken. But it should be done on only, not on feelings, not on, evil conservative hatred. It should only be done on merit, period. If it improves the force, good. If it doesn't, sorry.
If you've got a transgendered person who's as skilled as, say, Rambo, I say leave that transgendered person in the military, because Rambo could kill entire squads or battalions of enemy soldiers by himself.
Without getting hit once.
By himself.
With exploding arrows.
He could rescue POWs by himself while killing untold hundreds of enemy soldiers.
Now, if it wasn't Rambo and it was Bambo,
that's fine. If Bambo can kill like Rambo did, you leave Bambo in the military.
That movie.
Bambo?
We have to make the movie.
Like
Bambo.
A formerly Bambi, and then turns into a transgendered person, and then turns into a killing machine. Bambo.
I like it.
I mean, it's an easy premise. You know, I don't know how it hasn't been made yet.
Well, it's just hateful that Hollywood hasn't made it yet.
Yeah.
It's hateful.
It's true. It's what they do. They hate.
888-727 Beck. There's more to come.
Let me tell you about what I like to do. Because I occasionally have issues, particularly in the afternoon, with energy. And I think a lot of people do. There's that whole thing about you can get through the morning. You have the energy to get through that. But Dawn to Dusk is the supplement that I use. It's Brickhouse Nutrition are the people that make it, the fine people at Brickhouse Nutrition. It's a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement. Now, let me give you a couple good things about it, because there's a lot of energy supplements out there. I've tried a lot of them. A lot of them have real problems. Okay, this one, Dawn to Dusk, it lasts up to 10 hours. The extended-release thing is really important, because you don't want a jolting burst of energy and then you're crashing again soon afterwards. It doesn't make any sense. It improves your mood and stimulates your brain, all with, very importantly, no jitters. Again, the extended-release kind of gets rid of that. I mean, you don't get this surge of energy. You're overwhelmed with it. You're freaking out like a lunatic, and then it's over. No, you get a 10-hour nice burst of energy, keeps you awake, keeps you alert, keeps you focused. And if you're tired of wasting all the cash on all the caffeine drinks and everything else, you know, hey, that's going to wind up getting you to crash anyway, especially if there's lots of sugar in it. This will give you a boost, and it's a really great product, increasing your focus. It's for you. Give it a shot. Get 15% off 1 month supply with the offer code STEW at checkout when you go to BrickHouseStew.com. That's BrickHouseStew.com. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the program. Matthew Stafford just signed the biggest contract in NFL history. Pretty good.
Wow.
First of all, good for him. He's a Texas guy. And
averaging, $28 million a year-ish?
Is it that much?
It's in that range, yeah. It's more than Derek Carr, whose contract pays him $25 million a year.
I love him as a quarterback. He's had some. He's been on a lot of bad teams.
Stafford?
Yeah, I love Stafford as a quarterback. Yeah, I'd love to have him on my team. He's a great.
Interesting. His passer rating is not.
It's not fantastic.
It's about mediocre. It's 86.8.
But he's been on terrible teams.
Yeah.
And some of the stats. I mean, he's the fastest. He's the fastest to what is it? I can't remember the amount of yardage, but the fastest.
I think you said it was 278 a game.
Yeah, 278 a game, and over 8 years is the best in NFL history.
That's amazing.
Never
have thought that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that. And he's had, he's been
thrown a lot of interceptions. 108 in 109 games.
Yep. But again, a team that has been forced to throw a ton.
Yeah.
Over his career. And the teams have been fairly good recently. He's had some bad teams as well. Hey, congratulations to Stafford. ESPN has a new 30 for 30 documentary coming out. And I love these things, of course. And
Me too.
This is where Glenn's like, oh, you guys should boycott ESPN. Yeah, not if they're making these. They're too good. maybe if they start making really crappy things, then I will be able to avoid
and
it.
And if my favorite team goes away from them? Yeah,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, then maybe.
Maybe.
But this one is about something very near and dear to my heart. Of course, as you may know, I'm a big fan of Rocky. Rocky, mm-hmm. I'm a Rocky aficionado.
And wasn't he in like Rocky 14 or whatever?
Who?
Tommy Morrison.
So yeah, that's the guy who's in this documentary. Yeah. It's about Tommy Morrison, and he was in Rocky 5, the star of Rocky 5.
Oh, wasn't 14?
Many people think is the worst one of all time. Now remember, they've made
14,
7, 8.
Yeah, 7, right?
And eight. The eighth one's coming out.
If you include the Creed movies.
Yeah, if you include Creed, you're at 7, right? Because there's 5 original, then they made Rocky Balboa, which was well-received, which was technically the 6th one. Then they made Creed, which is kind of the 7th one.
And he just
Creed
got done writing 8,
yeah.
Right? We saw that.
Yeah,
so
about
that's
a couple
good,
months ago. Here's the trailer to the documentary 30 for 30 on Tommy Morrison.
You know me from Rocky 5, but in real life, I'm Tommy Morrison. A heavyweight with 24 knockouts. And I'm going to the top.
Anyone that can go in there and knock somebody out with one punch is special.
He had a style that people loved. I mean, heavyweights with power, with explosiveness. Every punch with bad intentions.
He hit me hard. I've ever met him in boxing.
But when Tommy left the ring, then he was out of control.
I was informed just a little while ago that I have tested positive for the HIV virus.
Oh, man.
You have a kid that's on top of the world who is a rock star. And then in one moment's time, in one day, people run from you. How do you cope with that?
I'd ask that you no longer see me as a role model, but see me as an individual that had the opportunity to be a role model and blew it.
I mean, these things are so good.
They are really talented at doing these features on people. They've got a real knack for it.
They really do.
Every one of them is compelling.
Yeah, they really.
I've never seen one that I didn't want. I didn't even care about the person. Never heard of the person.
So true.
I have to watch it.
I have to watch it, and they're always great. And then jeez, I'm always Googling for 2 hours afterwards.
I know.
It's just like ah. But the Morrison one is interesting. He kind of turned into a bit of an AIDS denialist after a while. It seemed like I know. Be interesting if they get into that because
so really, did he or did he not?
A really dark world. So the AIDS denialism thing, where they think that HIV does not cause AIDS and it's not real and blah 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 blah. And a lot of there's a very bizarre strain of the natural health crowd that believes that HIV and AIDS are not connected.
Really?
It's a really interesting backstory.
Well, I've never heard of that.
I'll be interested if they see they get it because I think that's the road he went down. I know they showed the headline. He never believed he actually had AIDS later on. Who knows?
He doesn't have AIDS now?
How do you know, right? I mean,
you got to watch 30 for 30, I guess.
You watch it. He claims he doesn't. But, I mean, whether that's true or not, I don't
know. So you would think, okay, in a sport that features blood oozing out of people's bodies and sometimes shooting out of people's, that would ruin your career. Is that what happened? I can't remember. That must be it.
I mean, he was not just, first of all, he was obviously in Rocky V, which made everybody know him. So all of his fights went from, his rise went a lot faster than it should have. However, he was a champion level boxer. I mean, he actually got the belt. He actually was a legitimate top-notch boxer. And, I don't know if he would have been one of the greatest of all time. Probably not. But still, he was a big guy that punched really hard. He was very similar to the character he played in Rocky V. Of course, you'd remember Tommy Gunn. But that was the issue. And funny, in Rocky V, he, of course, associated with a Don King-esque manager, as you may remember.
And I do believe he got into a street fight with his mentor, Rocky Balboa.
Which he lost inexplicably.
Which he lost. But a bare-knuckle fight.
He did. and Tommy, as they said, Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring. No.
No.
Not today. He went out and fought in the street. The issue, though, was he got into the lifestyle, right? In the movie, he had the girls all around him. He cared about the money. He lost his roots, and in real life, that pretty much played out, and it ruined his life at some level. It'd be interesting to see how they go through that. So that's 30 for 30 coming up pretty soon, I guess. Tommy Morrison. Also, another one coming up. This one, I mean, I'm intrigued about as well. This is a movie I don't know. It feels like they timed it in relation to Trump. Maybe not. Maybe it was under plans for a long time. Certainly, it's a very famous story that needed to be told. Watch this one. New movie with Liam Neeson.
Whenever the FBI hears a piece of gossip or information such as, I saw so-and-so out with another woman, not his wife, we're supposed to write everything down in memos. All your secrets are safe with us.
How long have you been in the FBI?
30 years.
That's a lot of information.
I give you the guardian of the American dream.
Mark Phelps. Fidelity, integrity, bravery. Ladies and gentlemen, the G-Man's G-Man.
What is it?
You better get down here.
Five men were caught early this morning in the Washington headquarters of the Democratic National Committee.
Here's what we know. The men who broke into the Watergate are not the end of this thing, but the beginning.
No more interviews with White House people without permission.
What?
We put the investigation to bed in 2 days.
The director of the FBI ordered the FBI to stop its own investigation.
The nation tonight is in the midst of what may be the most critical constitutional crisis in its history.
The White House has no authority over the FBI.
We can at all.
All this truth must be terrifying to you.
No one can stop the driving force of an FBI investigation. Not even the FBI.
What you're doing will bring down the whole House of Cards.
Washington Post.
This comes from classified FBI files. The White House has it, and now you have it.
FBI agents have established Watergate incident as political sabotage.
There's a spy in the FBI.
The White House is going to sanitize the entire town.
How high? How high does this go?
What about the president?
Is the president lying?
They're all lying.
Wow.
There's a nickname for you at the paper. Deep Throat.
You know that's nonsense because it was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., who brought that story to light from the FBI. In color. And he was in color the whole time.
It
Do you
it
know
is.
That story? I don't even know that story. Mark Felt?
Yeah, that's the thing. Huh. Deep Throat's...
That's crazy. Yeah. That looked good.
Yeah, it looks good. And looks good. Also, we've talked about this before, the dumbest thing anyone has ever done was break into that hotel. He was going to win by 50 points, and he wound up winning by, what did he win, by 30 points or something in that election?
One of the biggest blowouts of all time.
He did not need any political intrigue, sabotage, anything. And he didn't, of course, necessarily know about it at the time, but even the cover-up, so stupid. Such a dumb, unforced error.
Yeah.
The guy could have been president without even thinking about it.
Oh, no question. More Pat and Stu coming up in a sec.
Oh, good. I like that show.
Oh.
Oh, we have spoons today.
Been often said. It's spoons the
today.
Show ever done.
Spoons. Pat food.
Mm-hmm.
Pat food.
Mm-hmm. It's Pat and Stu, 888-727 Beck. Hi there.
Hi. Pat.
We just found out an interesting statistic about the fight from the weekend, the big Mayweather-McGregor fight, which paid $100 for.
So did I. You're not going to make me understand what's about to happen, but Jeffy's going to give you a number, and it's going to be higher than 18. And I don't know how he discovered this number, but he somehow has figured out.
Sometimes he can read it.
What I'd like to say is that
he won't know it if it's not on paper.
Period and a five is less than 18.
Oh, okay. So that's how it works. 6.5 million.
6.5 million people
paid
to see the McGregor. Fight.
And then they say that another 3 million streamed it illegally.
Yeah, 2.9 streamed it illegally. Almost 3 million illegally.
Wow. But I think their $650 million in revenue will probably do enough to.
They were still trying to go after some of them, though, man. Wow. They're trying to figure out some way to bring them down.
How do you know there, Jeffy?
They're trying to put some watermark on the pay-per-view stream now so that the companies will catch it quicker. You know, because some of the companies, Facebook, obviously, where people were using Periscope or other means to video stream the fight illegally so other people didn't have to pay $100. They didn't catch it. They shut some down. You know, they'd catch it. They go, hey, somebody's illegal, shut it down. But they didn't. Obviously, there's no way they catch them all.
That's the way to watch any pay-per-view event, though. Like, there's always someone on Periscope just putting it up to their TV. And, you know, you go through a few of them, and they're, like, always one of them is pretty good. Then you always hear their dumb conversations. They're like, yeah, pass those cheese doodles. It's like there's always something going on in the background, but you can at least see what's going on. It really does happen. There's always, like, some. And then, of course, 15 minutes into the stream, they discover it, and then it just goes away, and then you got to switch to another one. you don't, by the way, I did purchase it.
It becomes annoying. You know, it's, at some point you say to yourself, man, I wonder if I should have just spent the $100. And then another stream pops up.
Well, you know, but it's the same thing of and I'll be going back to the Napster days. When that first comes out, you're like, oh, wow, music's available online. This is so exciting. You get it for free. Mm-hmm. And then you're like downloading things. It's the wrong song. The quality sucks. And after a while, you're just like, I'd rather just pay for this.
Yes.
I mean, it does actually wind up
fueling.
Which
is why iTunes came along.
Yeah, and it worked, and that's why you used it. All right, 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Back in just a second. First, our sponsor. Now, first of all, I want to tell you that we know we've been talking a lot about the tragedy going on in Houston in the wake of Hurricane Harvey and the civil unrest in the country. It's really now more than ever that we need to come together as Americans and stand for what we believe in, limited government, the freedom of speech, and the right to bear arms.
Yeah, we can't let disaster or unrest take those rights away from us. And there are companies out there that are trying to do just that.
That's true. But there's one company out there still fighting for those values that you really care about. It's called Patriot Mobile.
Patriot Mobile offers nationwide talk and text. They have high-speed 4G LTE data. They've got great prices lower than what you're paying now, and then they donate up to 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization that you designate them to give the money to.
You know, at the end of the show, I'm going to turn on my Patriot Mobile phone, do some Facebook Live right from Patriot Mobile.
Wow.
So check it out here in just a couple minutes. Mm-hmm.
Go to Patriot. Sounds great.
What?
It sounds great.
He didn't sound very excited, though, did he?
Jeffy did not sound excited.
That's
We've
weird.
Got spoons coming up. You're going to want to see this. PatriotMobile.com/PatentStu. PatriotMobile.com/PatentStu. Go there today. Take advantage of the back-to-school special. Get unlimited talk, text, and data, along with a free Samsung or iPhone, all for a flat fee of only $55 per month.
But you got to use that promo code BACKTOSCHOOL, and they'll also waive the activation fee for you. PatriotMobile.com/PatentStu. PatriotMobile.com/PatentStu. Or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
Spoons. I'm so excited about
this. Wow, have we got a blockbuster Spoons episode.
What
is this?
Whoa.
What, a couple months ago, right? We did a feature on the on this restaurant in New York.
Yeah, can we play the clip real quick before we eat?
Is that possible?
Let's watch some of the
before
video.
Before we what?
Yeah.
Business Insider says, hey, look, it's cookie dough on a...
Oh,
oh my God,
oh, look at that. People are losing their minds over this edible cookie dough shop. Cookie dough just opened in New York City. They serve cookie dough like it's ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Look at this.
Over 1,000 pounds of dough is made a day. They use 25 pounds of sprinkles. All right. And
it's called dough, D-O.
100 pounds of chocolate chips in a single day.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
I can't wait to eat this.
Pasteurized eggs and heat-treated flour, and then people just eat it in a cone. It can be eaten like ice cream in a cone.
Oh, my God. It's giant.
The base of an ice cream sandwich, maybe.
Oh, gosh.
Baked and stuffed with more cookie dough. Blended into milkshakes. Oh, come on. That is awesome. And we actually have some actual cupcakes from the dough shop.
So let me give you a little side picture here, and we'll take a bite. If you kind of see, it's like a cupcake with cookie dough inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
How is it, Jeffy, since you've already freaking eaten it?
It's really good.
And on top of it is cookie dough, I would say. Is that accurate, Jeffy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Let's try one. This one's the sprinkles one.
It is delicious.
One of them is sprinkles. The other is Nutella. Mm-hmm. I'm eating the Nutella one right now. Delicious.
They're both delicious. They're really good.
Oh, my God.
Really good.
Now, that's a little rich, but it's freaking good.
I'd say a little rich is kind of an understatement.
What is this thing with edible cookie dough?
Well, it's
good, all
though.
Freaking edible.
Yeah, it is all edible. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to die because you have salmonella from the eggs.
No.
So at least you still ate
Plus, the odds are very rare. I mean,
How many times have you had salmonella in your life, Jeffy?
I don't know, but I've eaten a little bit of cookie dough. I know that may come as a surprise that I've eaten the cookie dough, but...
Very shocking. This is like...
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Now, let me try to put too fine a point on this, but the level of treat like this, that's like you got to try it once, but you're not back at the place every day.
Yeah.
That's where this is for me.
Me too.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really over the top.
Uh-huh.
But like this is max once a year type of thing for me. Like,
yeah. That's why it's about a 15 for me. It's good though.
Yeah, really
it's
good.
It's really good.
Once a year?
I'll give it a 14. Jeffy?
Once a year, did it say if the shop sold some sort, you know, like, I don't know, milk to go with it or anything, drinking stuff.
You had to ruin it.
Oh, man.
That was really good.